Good morning. Kind of feel the, I know I feel the presence of God here, and especially that of the Holy Spirit. And so with that, I have a structured preaching, but I'm going to leave it organic to let it flow. So it may be quick and or it may be long, so it's up to him. So my scripture today is going to be reading from John 14, 15 through 31. And like a lot of things, when I'm up here reading scripture, I really believe that we need to stand. So if we could all stand, if you're able. If you're not able, that's fine. We stand for the Pledge of Allegiance. We can stand for the Word of God. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth in the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be with you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you a little while longer, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you will also live. At that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I will love him and manifest myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him, and he will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while you being present with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, who the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring you to your remembrance all things that I also said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You have heard me say to you, I am going away and coming back to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice because I said I am going to the Father and my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it comes that when it does come to pass, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming and he has nothing in me. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandments, so I do. Arise. Let us go from here. You may sit. Thank you. So let's pray. Oh God, upon our soul we call the blessings of the Holy Spirit today to quicken every instinct of our being, that by the Lord's grace we may comprehend the power of your word and the might of your spirit. And we pray that the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ may be present in every heart, that we may realize, O God, not only the elevation and crowning of our Lord and Savior, but our own elevation and crowning with him as sons and daughters of God. Amen. In our reading today, we look at Jesus telling us that he's going to send someone when he leaves. He has to go for a purpose. And that another is the counselor. The word in Greek for counselor is parakletos, a person summoned to one's aid. It may refer to an advisor, a legal advocate, a mediator, or an intercessor. The Spirit's function is to represent God to the believers, as Jesus did when he was here on earth in a human body. And we see in John 14, 16, the word another. There are two meanings for this word. One means another who is of a different kind. But the word used here is the one of the same kind. You see, Jesus was going back to heaven, but he and the Father would send another of the same kind who would be God's dwelling among us. The difference would be that the Holy Spirit, who lived with them because he was in Jesus, would live in them after Jesus returned in heaven. Jesus would always be with them in person of the Holy Spirit and the Spirit of truth. However, this time, God would not be visible to all people as Jesus was. When the Holy Spirit came, his ministry would be primarily to believers. He would not operate on the world's wavelength. See, this is the reason we can believe the record of the New Testament when Jesus promises his disciples that the Holy Spirit would teach them all things and remind them of all that Jesus has taught them. The Holy Spirit is the divine author of the New Testament, just as he is of the Old. So one thing we have to look at is the Holy Spirit a person? When we think of a person, we usually think of a body, right? But must a person have a body? What happens when a human being dies? Only the body dies. But the person continues to exist in heaven or in hell. So what are the essential characteristics of a person? It's basically three things. It's intelligence, emotions, and will. If the Holy Spirit were only a force or an influence or a thing, he would not possess these three things, but he does. He has the characteristics of a person. We see in 1 Corinthians 2:10 through 11, he knows the things of God. The mind of the Spirit in Romans 8:27. The emotions in Ephesians 4:30 says he can be grieved. The will in 1 Corinthians 12:11. The Spirit gifts as he wills. He also acts like a person. In John 14:26, we see that he teaches. In Romans 8:26, we see he intercedes. In Acts 8:39, we see he performs miracles. And in Romans 8:14, we see that he leads. So as George said in the introduction, I was in Africa for a little bit. And one of the times that I was there, we took a two-hour drive because we heard that there was a village that never heard the word of God. And so we took about 20 of us, including the interpreters, and we jumped in the back of a truck and we loaded up a movie projector and different things. And we decided to start running here. And it was like 110 degrees. And being filled in the back of a truck with a bunch of other people going through the bush for 2 hours was anything but a holy experience. But when we got there, we had about 100 plus villagers come and meet us. And they were absolutely beautiful. They were eager to see what we had to offer. And so as we sat there, and I didn't speak any of the languages. They spoke two languages, and I didn't speak any of those. Trying to build that trust to say, hey, you know who we are. The interpreters did a pretty good job of introducing us and trying to ease the tension. And it started working as we played games with the kids, as we started to try to, figure out different things to talk about. And it turned out pretty good, and we built a little bit of trust. And then it started getting dark. And that's where we break out the Jesus movie that was adapted within their language. And they all sat down, and we started playing this movie. And they were riveted by everything that was happening. First of all, it was a movie, and they haven't really seen a movie before. And so after it was over, Heidi's right-hand person was scheduled to preach, so she stood up and started preaching. And as she started preaching, they came around and told us that we all needed to start mingling in the crowd because we're going to be praying for them afterwards. So she started preaching. We waited for prayer. And then she said, does anybody need any healing? The people around you are going to pray for you, and you're going to be healed. And I was like, oh, great, no pressure. You know, again, like I said, we just came off of 110 degree heat. Most of us were feeling nauseous. The last thing we were feeling was like, okay, let's do this. But we mustered up enough courage to sit there and started to try to talk to them about what was wrong, because they all rushed in. They all wanted this. And so as I was trying to figure out what ailment they had, mostly in sign language and touching here or there, and we started praying. As I was praying, feeling unworthy, feeling not ready, something touched me deep. And at that point, I was just like, okay, what's happening? And what touched me was, as I know now what touched me, was the Spirit of the living God. What was ministering to their bodies became a quickening into ministering to their souls. We became unaware of no longer needing to know what was wrong with them, just that we had to minister spirit to spirit. And they'd be getting healed in Jesus' name. Malaria started getting healed in Jesus' name. Parasites were gone in Jesus' name. Kidney issues gone in Jesus' name. Hearing was restored in Jesus' name. One by one, spirit to spirit, transcending all languages, the Spirit inhabited the words and touches of the ordinary people there to do extraordinary things. Glory to God. Now, after this was all over, I began to realize the importance of the Trinity and how they were the same, but each having different characters. The Father and the Son, I spent a lot of time getting to know. But there was this third person of the Trinity. You know, I always knew of him, and I thought that was enough. because God has done some wonderful things through me. But I realized, not only did I not know him, I knew if I was to move any further, then I had to really get to know the person. I felt compelled to know more regarding him, and as I began searching and studying God's word, I could see there was much more, first of all, to this atonement. You see, atonement refers to forgiving or pardoning of sin in general, and original sin in particular, through the suffering, death, and resurrection of Jesus, enabling the reconciliation between God and his creation. This is what allowed the Holy Spirit to inhabit us. Then scriptures like, he shall cast out devils, like in Mark 16:17, greater than he is he than in that is in you than he is in the world, in 1 John 4:4, started to open up. See, the Christian was in a place of authority, and with that, we have to understand comes responsibility. You see, Jesus, knowing that all power had been given unto him, took a basin and a towel and washed his disciples' feet. Even the one that was about to betray him. His power did not exalt him. It made him the humblest of all men. So the more the Christian possesses, the more of a servant they shall be. You see, God is the greatest servant of the world, the one who continually gives to men the necessity of the hour. Through his guidance and directions of the laws of the world, he provides for all the needs of mankind. Yeah, Jesus, knowing that all power had been committed to him, and as God gave the power to Jesus, so Jesus committed through the Holy Ghost, by his own Spirit, all power to man. I tell you, my friends, it is not necessary for people to be dominated by fear, nor manipulated by any evil spirits. Instead of being dominated, Christians should exercise dominion. The only power Satan has over them is what they permit him to have. Jesus taught us to close the mind, to close the heart, and close the being against all that is evil. To live with an openness to God. And God only. So that the glory of God shines, but everything in darkness is shut out. Jesus said, take heed therefore how you hear. That's in Luke 8:18. It's not what you hear. No one can help what they hear. But he can take heed of how he hears. When it is something offensive to the Spirit and the knowledge of God, shut it out. You know, sometimes I've tried to get it clear in my head and in my heart that God lives in me. And we forget so many times that he lives in us. I've tried to note the incoming influences and power of the living Spirit of God. I've tried to realize his presence in my spirit, in my soul, in my hands, in my feet, in my person, because it's an inhabitation of God. God equipping us to minister from himself. God equipping us to have a mind of Christ, that we may translate his words into action. God furnishing us the power of his personality and presence. For all the godlike qualities in your heart is due to the fact that God, by the Spirit, dwells in you. And this is what we're supposed to look for in others. It's God. Let's talk about a transformation for a second. In order to talk about transformation, we need to see how sin manifests itself. It's usually in three ways: in act, in nature, in salvation. Thought, act, nature, and then salvation is a complete transformation. You see, God takes possession of man, changes his thoughts, and in consequence, his acts change. This is the way it's supposed to work. His nature is new. A Christian is not a reformed or someone who makes changes man. A Christian is a person renewed, reestablished, resumed from where he's supposed to be. By the Spirit of God, man indwelt by God becomes the hands and the heart and the feet and the mind of Jesus Christ. God descends into man. Man ascends into God. That is the purpose and the power of the Holy Spirit. That is the transformation. One of the common teachings that my heart is trying to endeavor to combat is that God comes to present the individual with a gift of power. And the individual is then supposed to go out and manifest some certain characteristic of that power. No. God comes to present you with himself. And then in Acts 1:8 it says, "And ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost comes upon you." But he presents himself to you first. You see, Jesus went to heaven in order that the very treasury of the heaven of the eternal God might be unlocked for your benefit. And that out of that very soul of the eternal God, the streams of his life and nature would possess you from the crowns of your head to the soles of your feet. And that there would be just as much of the eternal God in your foot as there is in your brain. Each capable, in other words, of containing the presence of God. In John 14:10, it says, "Listen. The words that I speak not of myself, but the Father who dwelt in me. But the Father that dwelt in me." Where did the eternal Father dwell in Jesus Christ? In every part of his being. With and without, in the spirit of him, in the soul of him, in the brain of him, in the body of him, in the blood of him, in the bones of him. Every single solitary cell of his structure was a dwelling place for God. For God. When God gave me this message, it was something that came with a lot of warfare because it's foundational. A lot of us take off when we are saved in a glorious way. And we are on this high and we're running. And it was funny because Friday, George mentions the rocket ship, that if it moves off, if it's just a fraction off when it launches, it'll miss the moon, even though all the calculations were all sitting there. Unless there was a course change during the journey. That's our life. We all start out aiming for God, but we have to make some course changes. And a lot of those course changes start in the very foundation of what we believe and how we believe it. Because you see, if we have a wrong precept of who Jesus is, every concept that comes out of that's going to be a little bit off. We have to make those corrections. And by the grace of God, we're allowed to. You see, my friends, this message and the quality of the Spirit that is here contains the thing that confuses the world. It shows the clearest distinction and characterizes the real religion of Jesus Christ. And makes it distinct from all other religions and all other ministries. The ministry of the Christian is the ministry of the Spirit. He not only ministers words to another, but ministers the Spirit of God. It is the Spirit of God that inhabits the words, that speaks to the spirit of another and reveals Christ in and through him. Any results there might be in this life of mine, it's not Chris Garza's. It's the Holy Spirit. It's what the Holy Spirit does through a yielded vessel. So I'm going to stop right there. The Holy Spirit's here. He's in us. He's in this building. And I'm going to call up the prayer teams to come up. Because when the Spirit is here, there can be no darkness. There's the opportunity of healing. There's the opportunity of restoration. That person that you've been trying to forgive for so long is here to forgive him. That issue that you've been having, whether it's physical or mental, is here to be healed in Jesus' name. So if you're having issues or you're having troubles or if you just want more of him, you want to get out of the way, you want to make that course correction, I ask you to please come up. He's here for a reason. And that reason is you. Amen. Thank you.